You're listening to The Pulse.
Hey, hey, Fort Stewart, Wynn Army Community Hospital, and Hunter Army Airfield. It's Kevin Larson coming at you with this latest episode of The Pulse. And I'm joined by two fantastic individuals who do emergency management for the hospital and for the installation. I'm here with the medical emergency manager, Brian Kologi, and installation emergency manager, Bo Bradley. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me on this episode of The Pulse.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kev.
Hey, thank you for having me as well.
All right, gentlemen, let's jump right into it. We're coming up on the end of August. The next month is September. September is a big month for emergency managers. It's National Preparedness Month. Why does National Preparedness Month matter for Fort Stewart? And then why does it matter for the hospital?
Well, Kev, National Preparedness Month is mandated by Department of the Army, and it's also the peak part of hurricane season down here in Southeast Georgia, but National Preparedness Month is just our opportunity to reinforce to the community, to get your plans in order, to talk to your children about what to do when there's an emergency, whether on the installation or in the surrounding community.
Seeing that we just had Tropical Storm Debby, and as Bo alluded to it being the peak season for hurricane season, or the peak time, it is our final push into the end of the season, and just ensuring that we are prepared. We will do that again with a tabletop exercise that we will conduct at the beginning of the month to ensure that our hospital incident management team are well-versed and rehearsed and ready to roll in the event that we have not just a hurricane, but a tornado or some kind of other incident. So it's a great time for us to have that spotlight on emergency management, and that's all I got.
So as far as being prepared from an installation standpoint, what do people need to know about being ready for any kind of event, the floods, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the slow moving and the fast moving, you know, what do we need to know about being ready from an installation plan?
So Fort Stewart and Hunter Army Airfield, if you think about it from a strategic type of level, they're like small communities. So our garrison commander acts like a mayor. So we have to be prepared for any type of incident that small communities would have, whether it be a fire, tornado, vehicle accidents, fuel spills. So I kind of capture everything under what is called an all-hazards incident or an all-hazards plan. So anything that our soldiers, our families, our spouses can do to prepare for, they usually come out on the other end, whether kind of unscathed. So what I mean by that is, you know, everyone wants to think about evacuations during hurricane season. Know where the evacuation plans are. Have a kit that you can take at any given time, and just be ready, because if you're better prepared for these types of incidences, it makes it easier when you're going through it.
And then from a hospital standpoint, if Fort Stewart's like a little city, what's the hospital's role in managing an incident? And then also, what should the city's citizens, our soldiers, families need to know about being prepared in terms of the hospital? And what do our staff need to know about being ready for an incident?
So when it comes to our preparation as a hospital, we have seven different locations that are standalone facilities, from our troop medical clinics to the Total Army Health Clinic to Richmond Hill Medical Home, which is a community-based medical home off post, to the hospital itself. I'm managing the temperature-sensitive medical products that need to be moved in the event that a storm is coming, because we may lose power at any of those facilities, to individual preparedness, to our stay-behind elements being consistently scrubbed because we have people that come and go and they have to be identified and to be able to support those positions. Our constant coordination with the Region J Healthcare Coalition partners, along with any support requests that may come from the Augusta Federal Coordinating Center for any DISCA follow-on missions that we might be able to support for patient reception from incidents that might occur, for floods, earthquakes, anything can occur in this area. So it's just, again, another great opportunity to have this month, just like there is an anti-terrorism month, the month that we're currently in, to have a focus on on emergency management and preparedness.
And a shout out to the anti-terrorism folks. I got the handout from my brother from another mother at the PX. We all know who we're talking about. Our good friend over there. Help me out, Bo.
William Payne.
That's right. William Payne. Got a nice fist bump from him. But so yeah, at the hospital, we have all those things that we need to control for ourselves internally that we need to make sure we still have. But what's the message we want to relay to our citizens out there, to our beneficiaries? Like with Debbie, we didn't close. We closed outpatient, We closed outpatient. We shut that down, all the clinics. We kept inpatient services open, and we kept our emergency department open. Why is that important? Is that going to happen every kind of incident, or is that based on what the incident is, how it responds? Can we depend on the emergency room being open?
So when we go into a severe weather event or any other type of event, we have what is called a decision matrix that we give the garrison commander and we give the senior commander. So based on the current or based on the most accurate current weather projections we had, the senior commander made the decision to have everybody stay at home for life, health, safety, to keep the installation as clear as possible. So the decision for the in-house with the services for the hospital and Martin reception, that's delegated down to the hospital commander and Martin reception. But I'll let Brian tag in on the rest of this.
Thank you, Bo. So we will follow in lockstep with the installation and third ID, the senior mission commander's decision and the garrison commander. With that being said, regardless of closures, curtailments, et cetera, our emergency and essential service will remain open. Our emergency room will remain open. Our EMS will continue to service the area as long as winds remain below sustained 40 miles an hour. And that means 1 minute of continuous winds at 40 miles an hour or greater, our EMS will no longer be able to service at their own safety concerns. So the ER will remain open 24 hours. We are a hospital, just like any other on the outside, and we will continue to function because just because a storm's here doesn't mean that we stop delivering medical services.
That's absolutely critical. I mean, this is the time you would want Medicare the most possibly because it is it's an emergent situation that can lead to injuries or even behavioral health issues. It's just a situation that requires a coordinated response that requires those medical services to still be available. So it's reassuring to know that even though a storm might be coming, something does happen, Wynn Army Community Hospital will still be there open with the support of our installation brethren, providing the power, the water, those all other services that we need, the security possibly too, through the DES, the military police. Good to know that we are still there for our citizens of Fort Stewart and on the airfield.
And I just want to also just a caveat to Bo's earlier remarks about the all hazards analysis that we, so what I take is I take his, once installation commander is signed off, I take the Region J's, and then we do our own internal one based off of that. So we're nested so that we are in the same sheet of music as our installation brothers.
Right. And we talked about that the other day when we had our training, because we had our HICS training, our Hospital Incident Command System training, where you explained to us how you do that vulnerability assessment, the
HBM.
Yep, the hazards and vulnerabilities, and you nest several doctors together to determine how we need to create our emergency operation plans, our bag of tricks, and the tools we'll use to respond to a situation to keep the installation doing its primary mission. So we'll take a quick break right here, and when we come back, we'll talk more about National Preparedness Month and what families and soldiers and retirees and veterans and community at large can do to be ready for any kind of event that might happen here in coastal Georgia.
Introducing Q Anywhere, your stress-free prescription pickup solution.
Just get in line with your DoD ID, select your pharmacy spot, and we'll text you when your prescription is ready. Text I am here when you're on your way, and we'll have your meds ready for pickup. Quick, efficient, and easy. For refills, call 912-435-6576. Queue anywhere, because life's too short to wait.
And we're back. I'm joined by Bo Bradley, the Installation Emergency Manager, and Brian Kaloji, the Medical Emergency Manager, the two gentlemen that navigate the installation and the hospital through the roughest of storms when the waters are rising and the winds are blowing. They're the ones with the plan and the advising capability to make sure that we stay safe. So when it comes to working together, we've touched on it a little bit more, but there's the Region J, there's FEMA. I mean, there's a possibility that we might not be the hardest hit. What are the resources that we can offer to the community outside the gates? What can we do to help out our coastal Georgia neighbors if they're hurt or struck worse by a storm?
So Region 4 FEMA is activates what is called a BSI here at Evans Army Airfield. Because of where we are physically located, it has not really been activated in the past, but we are always prepared. We hosted a tour of the Region 4 FEMA staff about a year and a half ago out at Evans Army Airfield, got to see the terrain, got to see what capabilities we had, and that would be used as a staging area whether the FEMA resources would be going further south down into the Florida area, or even if they were going a little bit more north up into the North Carolina area. Evans Army Airfield can be used as a staging area. Some of the resources in the off-post community, we would help coordinate with the American Red Cross, tell our soldiers and families where the shelters are in the local community. And I am in constant contact with both yourself and Mr. Kaloji when we're in all hazards or weather incident.
This is very true.
Thank you, Bill. So we have we can coordinate with the RCC or the FCC out of Augusta for the DoD, but we also, if a disaster declaration is made and we have federal support from the president or the POTUS in the sense that National Guard could be also utilized with Air Force assets under from the VA FCC to support the movement of patients. When would primarily look to become a patient reception area, and that's really taking patients from other areas that are impacted by the disaster or what have you. And then we would do like what's a patient or medical surge to increase our bed capacity. And then reaching out to our Region J partners with bed statuses to be able to transport and move patients around to other locations, either military or civilian. So that's our primary mission in that kind of situation.
So then here at the local level, that coordination that happens between the Installation Emergency Operations Center and the Wynn Army Community Hospital Command Center, how does that relationship work? Who's talking to who? Is it, PAO to PAO? Should it be PAO to PAO? Or it's emergency manager to emergency manager? Are open lines of communication encouraged, or is it stovepiped? How does that all work?
Well, I'm a firm believer during an all-hazards incident, over-communication is best. I can pick up the telephone, communicate with Brian, yourself, the hospital, some senior members of the hospital staff. We can send emails, but we also have what is called the emergency support functions within the Installation Emergency Operations Center, and the hospital has a seat in our EOC, so that coordination can be done by hospital reps from the garrison commander, from the incident command directly to our ESF rep in the EOC to communicate up here to the hospital.
We obviously just weathered Debbie, and Debbie, was a slow-moving storm, dumped a lot of rain on us, and the initial storm wasn't what really affected us. It was the aftermath, all the rain and the waters and the rivers cresting. And we learned from that. We learned how to respond to that kind of situation and the timelines with slow-moving storms. What are some other lessons we've learned from past incidents that we are now going to apply to our bag of tricks, to our tools, to respond even better for a future event?
To every type of event, we always have lessons learned. So one of the things that was a huge win for, I will say, the installation, Fort Stewart, Hunter Army Airfield, and all of the assets, is the advent of A365 teams. What we created was a hot loop. So everybody that was working in the EOC, everybody that had Teams access, we created this hot loop. So we were providing real-time updates instead of waiting for an incident update or a commander's update brief. That was a huge best practice that we used during Debbie. And another thing that we learned is how these different rivers that are impacted by the rains, when cresting, flows into the Canoochee at Fort Stewart, which was a main factor in flooding Interstate I-44 here on Fort Stewart. So we're still doing some analysis. We're getting some new maps through both DPW and 3rd Infantry Division. So anytime we have an incident of this magnitude, there's always tremendous lessons learned, good and bad.
The communication platforms that were used proved critical in messaging the employees. We have some lessons learned when it comes to patient appointment cancellations, and that is definitely something that is going to be up for discussion and a way ahead, using our MHS Genesis portal, et cetera, and somehow we're going to figure out how to communicate to our beneficiaries more effectively. Also, we are developing our AR right now, and we will look to probably do its presentation to the commander and director after Labor Day weekend. So we're still compiling that. Canoochee was affected, and an interesting point was for me was reaching out to Bo and say, hey, look, I see the Canoochee's affected, but the near Bryan County down the Ogeechee, down where Love's is more affected than that, and it's causing exponential flooding, unprecedented in the sense that you have locals of 40 years residents who have never experienced that. And now we have displaced employees, and we're having to take another look and add another threat of flooding in the sense and how that affects our access routes for care. For instance, once 144 is affected and flooded, that's our primary artery to ground evac patients from Wynn to Memorial, and Memorial is a level one trauma center. So now air becomes air's primary, but when it comes to ground, alternate routes add a significant amount of time. Now, fortunately, there is talk that the hospital here in Liberty County is about to be maybe become a level four trauma center, and that will be a huge win for the local area, because that will cut down on transportation time and being able to have trauma victims and patients be seen locally and not have a 45 minute to an hour transit time to get to Memorial and then expire en route. So the flooding affected 17 as well. That's another. So it's just things that we have to really look and start shaping future exercises. So.
Yeah, very true. That communications part, especially to our beneficiaries, is absolutely critical. And if we can unlock the mysteries of MHS Genesis and how to do a notification push, that'll be a force multiplier for all of us, especially for public affairs, because we know that we have a lot of our spouses on Facebook. That's where they get a lot of their information, but not everybody's on Facebook. And we just need to find those opportunities to maximize information throughput. Because like you said, Bo, oversharing information is absolutely critical. So to wrap it up, it's National Preparedness Month, or it's soon going to be National Preparedness Month in September. one last push for tips and tricks for our beneficiaries, for our staff. What do they need to do? What do they need to be prepared for? So do the families. What do they need to be prepared for? And our staff here, like stay behind element, like me, like you, and critical workforce, what do they need to be prepared for if the balloon goes up again and another Debbie grinds us up, raises the water?
My big recommendation more than anything else is to make a plan that's personal to you and your family. Prepare an emergency kit. In the Army, we call them go bags. You could put little maps, bottles of water, maybe some cash money, coloring books or activity books for the children, and learn how to get involved in your community. And the big thing more than anything else, don't be scared, be prepared.
Thanks, Bo. I'm in complete agreement with Bo's recommendation. And I'm just going to add this because almost everyone has a smartphone and they can simply pull up Google search engine, right? Just type in GEMA, GEMA, all right? That's the Georgia Emergency Management Agency. You hit search. The first thing that's going to pop up at the very top is just that, GEMA. Click on GEMA and you will see that they're on the front page is Tropical Storm Debbie. And you scroll on there and you will find, hey, how do I build a kit for my family? How do I prepare my family? So really preparing your family, if you're always ready, you don't have to get ready, okay? With that said, the stay behind element, the critical workforce, they know who they are, they should be identified, and they should have the passes digitally with so that they can have it on their phone, so that if they have to go to a choke point or a TCP or ACP, when they're trying to get back here as a critical workforce member, that they have that digitally along with their driver's license, and that they don't have a local driver's license, that they have something like a bill that shows that they honestly live where they do. Because we do have people that have just transferred here, don't have a current Georgia driver's license with their current resident address, and trying to convince a Georgia State Patrol officer that I need to get back there is not going to work unless he or she has some kind of verifiable proof that you are who you are, going back to where you need to go to do the mission that you need to do and not there to loot. So be prepared and stay tuned.
What's really amusing about while you were talking about that, Bo was pulling up the website. He was typing in, as you were saying it, one by one, G-E-M-A. Bo often says about himself, he's a Neanderthal. But he's a smart man. And he's my brother from another southern.
Yes.
A lot of those. But yeah, that's true. Like Bo said, it's all about being prepared. Don't be scared. Be prepared. Gentlemen, it was an absolute pleasure to talk to you about emergency management. Thanks for joining me. And that about wraps it up for this episode of The Pulse, where we talked about National Preparedness Month and what you need to do to be ready, both as someone who responds to the storm and someone who needs to get the heck out of the way of the storm. And once again, like Bo said, don't be scared, be prepared. This is Kevin signing off, and I'll catch you on the flip side.